This episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
This is Klaus Schwab. Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
You can't handle the truth.
We'll do it live. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live.
I'm so drunk, Buck, tonight. Open up to your bum.
Well, a lot of my opinions would make me seem like a lunatic.
Absolute wanker. You blockheaded bastard.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Looks like a dick going towards an asshole to me.
I'm making fun of you.
Fellas, that you're so funny. The temporary ways, they're driving me crazy. So I'm taking your back.
Enjoy listening to Derek and Roro Nostalgia Hour.
Hello, this is Beat. No, it might be a Rick and Roro show to make up for one they, you know, didn't do last week. So we'll be introducing the show and possibly, what's his name? Rick will come in and then Rollo, possibly. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you very much, Ken. Yeah, no, I've just done a show of Bongversation episode number 57. Fantastic show. Absolutely fantastic show. Guaranteed one of the best. But I said to Rollo, to make up for last week, come on, do a show. But I'm telling you that this is the problem with two boys. You're listening to Long Be Told, whatever.
Truth Meets is supported by Wizener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the support link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
Fabulous. This is, can you believe it? This is actually going to be 74th episode impromptu of Rick and Rollo on Sunday, which Easter Sunday, which is fabulous. And Rollo's resurrected himself from the grave. Rollo, are you there? Rollo, are you there?
Oh, thank you, John Lewis. Yeah, I am here. It's a great Sunday. I found the only bottle shop in Newcastle. It's the Jesmond Hotel, so I've got to give them a big shout out because, you know, Aldi was shut, Woolworths is shut,
yes,
Coles
yes,
is shut,
yes.
Liquorland, BWS,
my bottle shop, yep.
Yep, and the only one I found because I ran out last night because I drank a whole liter of vodka last night with you
good,
on Rick and Rollo 73, which we had a really good night. I love the Rob Halford. Rock opera we went out with was fantastic. I listened to that.
And he did that. That was about 10 years ago. The guy, his voice, his octave range. There is no one, as far as I'm concerned, that can do that apart from obviously opera singers and stuff. But for metal, the screaming, the timing. He's just amazing. Amazing. So anyway, I just did a Bongversation with Dave and you were trying to drag him over here.
We were doing a whole bunch of improv. We were talking about California Highway Patrol, which is Eric Estrada and Larry Wilcox. I used to love that show as a kid, you know.
Friday nights was Chips Night in New Zealand back in the 70s.
I used to have to sneak watch it because my parents were friggin' all they would make me watch is the ABC.
And the
crap on the ABC, all I wanted to watch was, you know, shit like the A-Team, all the awesome American stuff. That's all you wanted to do. You know, that Dave, where Poltergeist was filmed?
We've talked about this about a million times at least. Dave's
amazing.
And it's very interesting. He talks about the trees and everything around that part of LA where all those shows were filmed. Very interesting stuff. But yeah, no, I just, because I didn't feel like doing my own show, and I'm not going on Fakeologist. I'll do it every couple of weeks because I just repeat myself continuously. So I thought,
I'm well known for that. Especially after like two or three bottles of vodka. I'm so glad I got one today. I'll tell you a story.
How much?
$70.
How much is it at Aldi?
$36.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, but, this was a liter. It's Easter Sunday and it was the only place open. I'm prepared to pay a little bit over. I'll tell you a story. We took Rosie for a swim at the lake.
Good man.
And she did a couple of swims and whatnot. But then a nasty dog came up and made a yelp. And back in the old days, the owner, you know, he was about 6'2", 6'3". I would have still grabbed him and said, "Take care of your fucking dog, you cunt.
Yeah, exactly.
And I, would have grabbed him by the lapels or t-shirt on, but I would have. Anyway, she was only startled. It didn't bite her, or to me,
because people have advised me to have a dog walking business, including my mother, R.I.P. Back in the day,
dog walking is a great job.
And because I'm trustworthy and I can handle big dogs, a lot of people can't handle big dogs. But I obviously have been looked after German Shepherds and Rottweilers and stuff like that, and I can deal with them. But this is the problem: you could be taking this dog for a walk and let it off leash. It spots a little, King Charles Cavalier. Or whatever, or poor Boris.
Yeah.
What happened to Boris, the dog, my favorite dog? And it.
What happened to Boris?
Boris got attacked. This is 2-3 years ago. He got attacked by another dog. Because when a dog sees Boris, it normally he sees his teeth bared because his teeth stick out underneath. He's got those British bulldog teeth, and they just assume.
Oh, that's right. That's your den. The guy that you. The dentist opening port. Yeah, Boris is a lovely dog. Yeah, keep going.
Well, he got attacked, and it cost the $2,500 for stitches and
antibiotics. Oh, God.
And I said that this is what concerns me about looking out, because as far as I'm concerned, looking after someone's dog is as important, if not exactly as important, as taking their children for a walk. Because you are responsible for their favorite animal. Like, if I was to take Rosie for a walk and she got attacked by another dog, I'd feel the blame and, rightly so, I could be prosecuted for not looking after her or whatever. But dogs are really sensitive creatures, and Rosie is just a, very placid dog, very placid. But big bully dog.
Only for 10 and a half years.
Only for 10 and a half years.
I had her since she was a puppy. She was a little bit bitey and I remember after 6 months when she was a puppy, and I said to Christy, I said, I can't handle this fucking thing. I want it out of here now.
No.
I must have been in a bad mood. Must have been in a bad mood that night.
Well, how dare you?
But it was doing zoomies around the house and, it didn't bother me. It was just the manicness of the dog when she was a puppy. She's an older dog.
Yeah.
She's so chill. She just chill. Yeah, like Boris. I bet Boris is just chill. Yeah.
Yeah. He is beautiful, but he's always been beautiful. And the British Bulldog has been maligned because they've got that, they bred them to have that ugly face and their no nose. And they just dribble, and they have to lick their mouth all the time, and just like those creepy fuckwits that all tend to be a lot of lesbians. And I'm not joking here. This is not a widespread aspersion. This is an accurate thing. Lesbians, old ones, old librarians, etc. For some reason, get a French bulldog that has basically been bred that it cannot breathe and you have to get stents inserted up their nose. It's horrific. They should never be allowed to breed those dogs. It's cruel.
I've read even the King Charles Cavalier Spaniel has been bred a certain way to have that short muzzle because Rosie's a purebred.
Yeah. How much was she? How much was she?
1,400.
Okay, that's cheap.
Back in the day, and the males were 1,600.
Wow. Yeah, for breeding.
But I didn't want to. I didn't want a male. I wanted a female dog. Because you know when you rub their belly, you know there's nipples everywhere, but there's not a ginormous penis. There's not a ginormous penis in the road. Yeah. So, so 1,400 and she's never had a lover or a litter or anything like that. And remember she got a hysterectomy.
Like most mid-40s women end up with hysterectomies.
That cost us what, $2,500 to have that done, and I thought we were going to lose her because there was blood coming out everywhere, and it was a ginormous infection. When she healed up,
this is the catch up show we didn't do last Saturday night.
That's right, Rick and Rollo. So this is Rick and Rollo 74 on Sunday. This is Easter Sunday on 5th of April.
Yes, it is.
2026. Yeah.
Did you get an Easter egg? Because I didn't, because none of my children. He didn't buy me an Easter egg.
Oh, Norbert or what's the
Heinrich,
other one?
Heinrich. But I went and bought him a great big box of Maltesers, which he loves. And I said to him,
"I love Maltesers too."
Yeah, I do too.
I would have loved to have had Maltesers last night. I watched on Velocet's Velocet streaming service, Jellyfin. He uploaded the Robert Downey Jr.
Senior movie.
It's called. And I watched it, and it was. It's an incredible watch. Because if I use Netflix here, I've told you before, it fucks up with Chrissy because Netflix are a bunch of greedy bastards.
Well, they just took $20.
They won't give.
Netflix managed to find a way of getting into my bank account today, even though I'd shut them down, and took $20. And I said to Heinrich, or whatever his name, real name is. I said, "Can you get this fucking thing off my phone? I don't want to pay them a cent. I've got Jolo's Jellyfin, And he said, I'll do it. And anyway, he did it. He got rid of it. And then I got an email from Netflix saying, oh, we're really sad that you lost. You can, you, if you want to change your mind, press
it. Fuck off, Netflix. We've got Jellyfin, and it's totally legal. And and Robert Downey Jr. with his father.
His father introduced him to drugs and stuff, I do believe. That's why, because he had a serious
It's a good documentary. It's just remember,
Rob, back in, because he's about same age as, same age as me, right? Not you.
Let me grab my phone. Where's my phone?
I reckon he's about my age. He grew up in the 60s.
Okay.
He could be your age. I think he might be your age, actually.
All right. Give me a sec. Robert Downey Jr.
58, 59.
See if you get it right.
I thought he's my age, but that's Keanu Reeves is my age. And
he could play Severus Snape. As I reckon Robert Downey Jr. could probably do it as well.
Exactly. And I would put him as a contender.
He's 61. He was born on the 4th of April, 1965.
Okay.
So Robert Downey Jr. is an American actor. His films, a leading role, grossed over $14.3 billion worldwide, making him one of the highest grossing actors.
That's Iron Man. Yeah, but then you can say the same thing.
Iron Man was only a third tier character from Marvel, wasn't he?
He is definitely the greatest character in those movies, because I've watched all of the, you know, I keep going on about this, but I had to because I, you know, little kids and they wanted to go and see the Marvel movies. But I loved the first Iron Man, which had, what's his name, playing the bad guy from Big Lebowski, you know, it played, what's his name? Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges.
He's an awesome actor.
I love that guy.
So this is my
favorite Jeff Bridges film is Starman. Starman waiting in the sky.
Yeah. But what about the other movie, K-Pax? Do you know about that movie? Have you watched K-Pax? Because that is really, really good. Okay. Well, that's K-Pax. Okay. So it's Jeff Bridges and Kevin Spacey. Kevin Spacey's playing a guy who claims to be an alien. You've got to watch it because it's set in a mental asylum.
Sounds awesome.
It's honestly, if you tell me that you didn't like it, I'll say, Rollo, you're lying.
I bet I'll love it. K-Pax. So I'll note that down. K-Pax. The trouble with Jeff Bridges these days, he's, I saw him in, was it True Grit or something? And I couldn't understand a word he was saying. He was like,
he acted with John Wayne in True Grit. No, he was
in his later years.
Okay.
Because his brother Beau Bridges, remember the Michelle Pfeiffer film where they were both pianists or something, the Amazing Something Brothers. Jeff was the better looking one.
Yeah.
Well, can you imagine being Beau Bridges and you've got your brother Jeff? Jeff is just he knocks it out of the park. Yeah.
Well, Jeff Bridges was in this movie with Clint Eastwood that I've never seen ever before.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something about lightning something or other. Look up Jeff Bridges and Clint Eastwood.
Sure. Jeff Bridges and Clint Eastwood.
Lightning, and put lightning in the title. Because it was apparently a fantastic movie. And he played Clint Eastwood, offside to Clint Eastwood in 1978, 9, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Apparently it's a
Jeff
really
Bridges
good
movie. And
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm a huge fan of Clint Eastwood.
Look up this movie. It's called Something Lightning.
That's right. I'm looking it up right now.
Clint and Jeff. Clint and
all
Jeff.
Good. Do it too. There's no hurry. There's no hurry. Yeah, it's called Thunderbolt and Lightfoot.
And Lightning. Thunderbolt and Lightfoot, sorry. Lightfoot.
Yeah, 1974.
Okay, it's about a bank robbery.
So it says, Thunderbolt, a veteran bank robber, teams up with Lightfoot, a young thief who saves him from a tough situation for a daring heist with his old gang. Yeah.
Never Thunderbolt. I have never, because I'm talking about, this is very important, Rollo, what we're talking about here. I'm talking about back in the 70s and until about 81 or 2, if there was a great movie that came out and you didn't see it, you'll never see it again because there was no such thing as home video back till about 82 in Australia and New Zealand. And so when it came out, I was too young to see it because it was R16, which means you had to be 16.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And
yeah.
I was 10, and I couldn't. Two of us could have stood on our shoulders and put makeup on, like you see in jokes, to get into the theatre. But no, it was really hard to do. And there was actually R18s and R21s.
Well, I think I was just born at the right time. You know, I just posted it on the balcony, Thunderbolt and Light. That is a great poster. I like that. Yeah, awesome. I like the poster. Yeah, that's brilliant. Well, I've been blessed. I was born in, because Dave was born in April 1969. You were just talking before, and I was born in October 1969. And, so basically we got to, live, well, growing up in the 70s, I really, didn't get,
access
to any of that stuff. But in the '80s, when did the first VHS,
82.
You remember, Village Roadshow. That's right.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the first movies I saw on that was Mad Max. So it was called Road Warrior.
Road Warrior.
Yeah. And you put it in, and it goes. They
cut Billy the fuck out of it.
They did on TV for some reason. I didn't think there was anything that needed to be.
No.
Rick and Roll is 74.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Thank you, Velocet. Truthmeets.com. It's the makeup show, Rick and Rollo 74. Sunday the 5th of April, Easter Sunday. I found the only bottle shop in Newcastle that sold a litre bottle of vodka to me for $70, where I normally get it for $36 at Aldi. But there were no Woolworths, there were no Coles, there was no BWS, there was no Liquorland, everything was closed, and I found the only bottle shop in Newcastle that was open, and I got
funny,
it.
Funny you should say that, Roller, because I actually went to Coles in where I live.
Mm.
And it was fully open, and the bottle shop was fully open, the Liquorland, or
today,
whatever it's called.
Today.
Up my way at Laurieton. Yep, Laurieton.
Really?
Coles was open. Yeah, it was completely open.
I don't know why that was shut up tighter than a nun's asshole. Yeah, everything. I'm telling you. There was nothing open.
Okay, well, up my way, they were all open, except for my bottle shop would have got, 30 footsteps from my house. I went up to buy some ice, and I'm talking about ice as in ice.
Yeah, ice, baby. I know what you mean.
Yeah,
crack cocaine is not your business.
No. Great fun, but not anymore. Great fun, but not anymore. But no, and it was sharp.
Have you ever smoked a?
Yes.
An ice pipe? Have you ever smoked one?
Yep.
I've never smoked ice. I've done crystal meth. I've heard it's close.
It tastes disgusting. It tastes like chemical. And I thought that I didn't realize.
Of course. I mean, you've seen Breaking Bad. You've seen Breaking Bad, how it's made.
Yeah. Well, it tastes disgusting.
Hmm.
But the high you get is very good.
Well, not any kids listening.
No.
None of mine are because none of them are here. Yeah,
you don't want
Norbert or a high.
I tell them. I give them examples. This is what you look if you want to keep doing this. This is what you're going to end up like. And I pointed to examples of my friends that are fucked at the moment because of what they got up to when they were younger.
Oh yeah,
and the worst ones.
But at least they're still alive. I mean, that's true.
But it's
a lot of my friends.
Yeah, but they didn't die unless they hit heroin.
One of my best friends, Scott Odlum, was huge into bodybuilding and
steroids.
He shuffled off his mortal coil at 42.
Yeah, because he took steroids.
He was a mess at the end. I spoke to him. I remember the last time I spoke to him. I went, where's the Scott Odlum I used to know? Somebody I used to know. Remember that Gautier song? Yeah, you're somebody that I used to know. Yeah, when we were kids at school, it was just so much fun. But then, he got onto the juice and
That is a really nasty thing. And a lot of guys I know that used it.
Yeah, it's called roid rage.
Because it fucks up with your hormones.
And he was huge too. Like, you know, you could paint him green. Seriously, you could paint this guy green. He could play the Hulk. He could be the Hulk easily, you know. Because he was a bald cunt. So you'd have to put a wing on him, and he would easily have.
The Hulk looked like a giant Oompa Loompa that was green. To be honest,
remember Lou Ferrigno, who played the Hulk back in the '70s. He was deaf. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Deaf. Yeah, he's still with us.
Yes, he is.
The guy they wanted originally was Richard Keel. You know, the guy that played Jaws out of James Bond. But he was too tall, and he didn't have enough muscle mass.
No,
but they filmed the pilot with Richard Keel.
Yeah,
and they went, hey, he's just not the guy. And they went to Arnold, and they asked Arnold if he'd do it, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Arnold said no. Arnold said no, but he suggested Lou Ferrigno.
Sure enough,
he got the gig, you know.
But to be honest, if you watch those TV shows, look at Bill Bixby, you know, Bill Bixby
was awesome. I loved it every time he opened his eyes and he got angry, and then they put those contacts in his
green contacts.
And then the shirt would start ripping, and why his pants never fell off. I never understood.
This is what we got to look with these cartoons. The actual feasibility of a guy that turns that big with a pair of pants on. Have you ever been shopping for a pair of pants that will actually expand to that size? Guess what? It's not going to happen. You're going to be walking around with your wanger hanging out. Guaranteed.
When it comes to waggers hanging out in movies, one of my favorite movies, I was just watching, I think, a documentary the other day about Paul Giamatti. Do you remember him at all? He's in that new Star Trek. He's in that new Star Trek bullshit. Okay. Anyway, he went on a wine tour with this fella, and he was a root rat. He loved having sex, like, because he was about to get married, so he wanted to get all the sex out of himself. The guy, I can't remember the act. I'll look it up. But there was this wonderful scene where Paul Giamatti. You wonder why these guys were still friends, because they were on a winery tour, so they were just drinking wine and just going, yeah, it's just through all the wine country in California.
Yeah.
and this guy, he's fucking this guy's wife. And he runs out naked, and the shot, I swear to God, the shot where he's running towards the car and he goes, and the guy's chasing him. And he's like banging on the door, going, unlock the fucking door. And his dick and balls. It's like one of the, honestly, I thought I was going to die watching that. I've never seen anything more funny where he's just totally naked and the dude who caught him fucking his wife. It's chasing him out of the place.
I was going to chop his Johnson off.
And then get this. He left his wedding rings. He left his wedding rings and his wallet and his all his stuff in the bedroom. So Paul Giamatti had to go and sneak in. And then the husband's now fucking the wife. So did you enjoy, you know, what you were getting before? It was so, you know, it's so adult.
It's so good to be out of that whole loop of being that. I'm telling you, sex completely dominates males, and they know that, and knew that. This is a whole,
years ago.
And they know how to trigger you. And every time, again, I keep saying this, but if you're driving in the wedding, Sydney, you're going to see White Fox with these two really hot chicks that look like probably the same. They've doubled the image up. Are they twins? On the back
of
the
car,
they're hot, they're good looking, and straight away your brain just goes into sex. If you're into reproduction, that's all you can think about. All men think about sex. That's
when, I'll tell you a story. When I used to work at the Town Hall Hotel before Robin Roy, bought it. You know the guys that know Brian Beresford. So don't forget to tell Brian.
Yeah.
Bruce Beresford. Don't forget to tell him that. There was a guy called Brian McDermott who used to own the hotel. And he was a pretty good guy too. I really liked him. He had the sexiest wife. He was the biggest, fattest. How could I describe it? He looked like Alfred Hitchcock, right?
Oh dear, that's not good.
Yeah, I'm telling you, behind the bar, but he owned the bar, he owned the hotel, and the hotel was beautifully run, and I was employed by him because I used to do the trivia and the Texas Hold'em at the time. He gave me a book. And it was a crazy book, and I've got a book to give you, by the way. Don't forget. So I opened this book, and it's like beautiful chick, and it's photographs, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful photographs, and just keep flipping the pages, and they're all beautiful. Not one of them is ugly. And then you get to, I think it's page 33 or something. And then there's this big, fat, ugly chick vomiting on another chick.
That'd be a Japanese.
And then you continue on. Beautiful women. What's the only thing you remember?
The chick throwing up on another chick.
That's it. It was just a crazy book. And it was like produced by Penguin or something. I don't know. It was...
Well, I can remember doing when I was doing security for the Ministry of Education. There was a Chinese guy doing security there, and he left all these porn magazines in his locker, which was, you know, everyone, you could, when you opened up where you kept the end before you could see it.
Yeah.
And I was going through one of these Japanese porn magazines, and it was so unsexy and so gross, but they were into this kind of thing about vomiting and used tampons. Oh, yeah.
Japanese are into really crazy shit, aren't they? Have you ever heard of the thing called Yukaki? Have you ever heard of that?
Of course. And this is the crazy thing they do.
Yeah. Yeah, where it's like 100 men come on some woman's face.
Or every other part of her body. So she looks like a plaster,
I remember the first time I saw it when I was
like a plasterer's transistor radio. That was a very funny gag about Bukaki.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I was firstly intrigued. I was intrigued.
I was looking at this stuff and I was going, how can anyone be turned on by a woman throwing up or use tampons? It's like, that is
not. Oh.
And that, this is what.
I'm not sure this will ever get posted, Rick.
Yes, it will. No, yes, it will. We're on the Rick and Rollo. This is Rick and Rollo, episode 74. And we can talk about whatever. That's why, I mean, honestly, I'll spare anyone that's going to come on.
All right. If we're going to go there, use tampons. One of my favorite stories is a friend of mine. Was going down on his wife or his girlfriend. That's right. I remember it was his girlfriend. He wasn't married at the time. And she said she wasn't on a period, but she was.
She was. Yeah.
and he vomited. He got a mouthful of period blood. There you go. How about that? He was a top class golfer.
We'll gloss over that disgusting story. But did you see that? You know, last night I brought up Randy West, and I said the guy
Randy West. I looked him up.
I thought he was Italian, but no, he's Jewish. His name is like something Abraham.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
But he's such a likable guy. He was a baseball major. He went to he got sent from New York to California University as a baseball major. Then he became a nude model, and someone must have said there's a group of dancers out there that you could join, and he joined up Chippendales. He became a Chippendales dancer. Then he decided that baseball wasn't for me, and he became a porn star. Mm-hmm. And he slept with, he says 3,000 plus, and I would guarantee that's accurate, chicks, but he died 2 years. I didn't realize he's dead. And because
rest in peace, Randy. Randy. Yeah.
But the guy was, a likable kind of, not like John Holmes is fucking evil looking. That guy looked nasty.
Yeah, he passed away in 88. I think he was given, Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, the flush shot.
Because there's no such thing as AIDS. AIDS is a made up thing. Exactly, I was disgusted. I was disgusted when I learned that. Years later.
John Holmes was probably hanging out with the men as well and doing loads and loads of
he could never really get a hard on.
No, because he'd faint.
It was monster. It was 13 inches long.
Yeah, so you'd
if you deliver that to my wife, she goes, what do you think you're going to do with that? It's ridiculous.
What you could do with it is go fishing, possibly, or hit people over the head with it.
I know.
But, you know. Yeah, but no, Randy West. Randy West was normal. He was just balanced. But
my girlfriend's always said, short and thick does the trick. You know, it's short and thick.
Yeah, I think it's a mental thing with the sex. Sex is meant to be for reproduction. It's not meant to be, and they weaponize it. And guess who is running all the porn?
Maybe that's the song we'll go out with tonight. People Are Still Having Sex by Latour. Do you remember that song?
Yeah, I do, because
Lots keeps on lurking.
Yeah, but I've talked about this before on some of our old shows that the AIDS thing was.
It's not working. It's part of the song.
So they had to weaponize everything. So all of a sudden you had George Michael coming out with
I want your sex.
Because what happened with AIDS, it scared so many people from actually having sex, and the elites up there did not want that to happen.
It scared me. I was 18 years old.
Scared everybody, Rollo. Everybody was scared to have sex, and then they had to bring out the stars like Madonna and George Michael to Dooley Dooley's pro having sex, safe sex songs back in 1980 something or other.
It's crazy that AIDS thing. I think what really sold the AIDS myth was the Rock Hudson.
Yes,
Yeah, he really sold it. Because if you really think AIDS is a real thing, how the hell is Magic Johnson still alive and well?
Yeah. Because he's got a Magic Johnson. He's got a Magic Johnson.
Exactly, because he's got a Magic Johnson. Exactly, because it's total fiction. Just like COVID is total fiction.
Fiction.
And people still believe it. Yeah.
Yep. 100%. You're on the ball, 100%.
Well, I am on the ball because, you know, I wasn't born yesterday. I was born in October 1969, mate. You think I was born yesterday? No way. I don't mind a little conspiracy talk. But when it comes to medical talk, I mean, that Anthony Fauci and that Bill Gates, you know, that snake oil salesman,
Gates and Fauci, and
there's someone else. Which other one do I want on death row? Yeah. There's three of them. But those two need to be hung. Hang them high, you know, like Clint Eastwood style. Hang them high.
That ain't happening. And Fauci will just die of old age in the next few years. And it'll be all for you're listening to
Rick and Roller 74.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
All right, Rick and Roller, thank you, Velocet. Rick and Roller 74, Easter Sunday.
Yes.
What is it? The 5th of April, 2026. And we are talking all sorts of subjects we probably shouldn't be talking about on Easter Sunday. There's quite a lot of porn. I remember Red Simons back in the day when he was on 3AW back in Melbourne. He'd do porn before dawn. That means he could talk about anything. He could talk about anything. You know, Red Simons, you know, on Hey, it's Saturday. We know Ricky May and Maury Fields. You know, back in the day when we
there were two poofters came into a restaurant.
A couple of mongrels walk into a bar. And Daryl Summers and Ernie Carroll, was it, that did the ostrich, who had to be under the desk the whole time.
Yeah.
It was Carol Summers' production.
Carol Summers' production.
I've heard that they're decent blokes too.
No. Carol was for sure. But apparently Daryl Summers was an absolute fucking tyrant, you know, like most of these TV stars.
Really? I used to watch him in the morning, you know, with the cartoons. Before it went to Saturday night.
It was called the Something Sunday Fun Show it was called the Super Sunday or the Super Saturday Fun Show.
Okay.
It was a cartoon show early in the morning where you get your best stuff. And I'm a big fan of TV back in the day. I love kids TV shows because I used to be sitting there watching them, you know, and Super Sunday Fun Show.
If we're going to do nostalgia, that's all I want to hear is like, shit, I just dropped my lighter.
Don't do that. Find it on the ground.
Where the hell's it gone?
Find it on the ground. Find it on the ground. Otherwise, you're going to have to use your electric
boogaloo. What the hell is
that? No, you must have another lighter around, surely, to go.
I found it. Keep going. So we're doing the nostalgia.
You know, kids, like, even I can remember in the 90s when I was like 30 something or other, watching, you know, because I had to get up to go to work on, you know, building sites back in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. And I loved switching on because my last four X's. She loved getting up early so she could do her makeup and get her hair ready to go to the office where she was working. And she always had the TV on. So I used to watch early morning TV. And Australian early morning TV actually was really good back in the late 80s, early 90s. You had, the rich guy that used to go around and go into rich people's houses. I forget his name, that English. He was a rich English, he was English journalist. And there was travel shows, there was cartoons on.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember
early morning shows.
Skippy, the bush kangaroo.
Yeah, from Waratah National
I think we've lost most of them.
Yeah.
Ed Devereaux and I think Lisa Goddard and the, I think the kitties still, I think the kangaroos are all, left
Lisa
the building.
Lisa Goddard eventually married Alvin Stardust, maybe we could go with Alvin Stardust.
I thought she married Patrick Mower.
She may have, but I think she got around.
Lisa Goddard.
She was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, beautiful. Oh, yeah, you betcha.
Yeah. She was an English actress that played on Skippy the Bush Kangaroo TV show.
I always liked Australians that went to, like Bud Tingwell. He went to England and
England got famous, big time.
And you know the Aussies that go over, like Mel Gibson, even though he wasn't born here, born in New York, but he came here when he was. So many
of our great English actors, great Australian actors went to England and made all their money
back in the day. Russell Crowe.
But I'm talking about there was a particular guy that did voiceovers. He was an Aussie actor that did voiceovers on Thunderbirds, UFO, all these other amazing shows that I'm big into, be told. He was just an Aussie actor because he could do an American accent. Because English people cannot do American accents, usually, most of the time.
He's still with us.
Yeah.
76 years old. She was born in 20th of January, 1950, Lisa Goddard.
Yeah, okay. And Lisa Goddard.
He doesn't look like she's had any work done either.
No, probably not. But remember that, what was the other, you know, remember Robin's Nest?
Richard O'Sullivan,
who's still alive?
I'm pretty sure.
No, still alive.
No, is he?
Yep, still alive.
I thought he might have left the building.
Richard O'Sullivan still
alive. He did Man About the House. It's one of my favorite shows.
And Chrissy and Pauline Yates or whatever. No, not Paula Yates. It was a man about the house. Those two chicks were hot.
Yeah, remember Euther Joyce and Brian Murphy's show came from it. What was it called?
George and Mildred. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
He's still alive. You're right.
He's still alive. And
Richard
O'Sullivan,
he's 81 years old.
Yeah. But his...
Born on the 7th of May. Yeah.
Look up the girl that played his wife in Robin's Nest. She is so attractive, or was, rather. Was.
Yeah.
Back then. What was her name? Can you Google that?
I'm looking at that. Give me a sec. I can see her. She was a blonde. Yeah. That's right. They ran that restaurant.
And they had a one arm.
Yeah, restaurant. I'm looking at her right now.
What was her name?
Yeah, let me click on her.
Tessa Wyatt. She was absolutely fucking beautiful as far as I'm concerned.
Oh yeah. Unbelievable. When it comes to beauty, look at Tessa Wyatt here. Oh my god. And she's still good looking now. Look, I just typed in Tessa Wyatt 2026. She hasn't had work done, but she's 77 years old and I'd still fuck her.
That's the way it is.
If she wanted one,
you'd be there to do it. You'd be a stunt cock. Roll over stunt cock.
I'm considering this Porn After Dawn, like Red Simons, you know, on 3AW. He would allow anything from 5:30 till 6 o'clock.
Well, I guarantee
you could basically say anything on 3AW. And he wouldn't even use the dump button if you swore.
Well, you know, because he's been antagonizing people for a long time, and he loves antagonizing.
Horror movie right there on my TV. Horror movie.
We played it 3-4 episodes ago.
Oh, I swear to God. The day that Shirley died, I was so upset. But I've always liked Red Simons. I always thought he's sardonic. Delivery, you know, he knew what you were talking about.
He was an antagonist. Yeah.
Do you remember that time when Harry Connick Jr. was on and the Jackson Five,
three of them were actually black and they put on blackface.
They
were actually doctors. And Harry Connick Jr. goes back and
watch. And then Daryl Summers goes up there and does the big apology.
Yeah, what a wanker.
This is Australian. Did you see how well choreographed they did that? They're all doctors.
Three of them were Indians and actually dark skinned and they still just, having a joke. It was just, this was the Australia of old. Now, let me just tell you now, Rollo, the Australia of old has gone.
Where's the sense of humor gone? Are we all gone woke?
No, we're not allowed to have one because it's considered offensive to whoever we're offending. I'm not sure who they are, but apparently that we're offending people.
They are the people on Twitter or X or whatever they call it.
Yes, the loud
voices to get offended by anything.
Yep.
And they won't buy anything. You know, that Ryan Gosling new film. They're offended by that. You know why?
No.
Because Ryan Gosling isn't black or something.
Yeah, so my son went to see it yesterday, Norbert.
Yeah, it's called Project, I forgot the name already.
Whatever. My son said it is absolutely fantastic, but he said it's 2.5 hours long.
But it apparently doesn't drag.
No, he said it's the opposite of the other moon thing that they did, or spacing few years ago. He said, there's no boring bits. It's just totally great movie. And I'm watching reviews on the ones you send me, the YouTube, and they all say it's the perfect movie. No one's offended. It's great.
I can't wait to see it myself.
Well, I went to see it about 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago when I first got
You were talking about it's called Project Hail Mary.
Project Hail Mary, yeah.
Yeah, you said you've got a lovely theatre close to your place.
Yes,
where it's like the Regal Cinema, the little Regal Cinema we've got here.
Yeah. You've got this. Okay, you probably have one as well. Now, my cinema was where, what's his name that did Elvis and all these big movies, you know, director who did the last Elvis movie. His father was the projectionist at this particular little cinema in Laurieton. And
Elvis movie.
Are you talking
about the real Elvis? Presley?
No, I'm talking about the, director that did,
I know Tom Hanks was in it.
The director of that Elvis movie, what's his name? He literally grew up, 15 minutes from where I live right now.
Okay.
I just had to kill a moth. As I talk to you.
Well, it had to die.
It had to die.
I killed a mosquito today that was biting me.
Okay, good. But Rollo, I have some really bad news. I gave a listener to our show a brain injury, and debating whether I should go down and finish him. Baz Luhrmann grew up just down the road from me, but. His father was a projectionist at Laurieton Cinema back in the day.
Can you go back to what you were saying before?
So I went to put some sheets in my laundry, my washing machine, and I saw a lizard, one of our listeners, underneath this. I've got an exercise bike for some weird reason in my laundry, and I thought I'd let it up to kind of get out, and I accidentally pressed down on its head, possibly.
Oh.
And he's now got a brain injury, and he's still down there running around in circles. He doesn't know how to move properly. And I think, should I go down and kill him just out of, you know, kindness?
Yeah, I would, yeah.
And I might have to do that.
I did, yeah. I used to have one. They used to sun themselves. You know, in Floralia Close, where I used to live, right? There was downhill on the right. And I knew the lizards, the blue tongue lizards, they'd sun themselves on the road. And I went boom, boom, boom.
Oh, no.
And I went, oh, no.
You ran them over.
I stopped the car.
Oh,
and he was half alive, but he was a mess. And I did the American History X. I hit him in the head with the heel of my boot and then threw him over.
We've got to be cruel to be kind. I'm just gonna check.
You can't let him suffer, you know. I found an echidna on the corner and trying to get that off the, because I almost ran over the echidna, and try and pick one of them up.
No, you can't do it.
So I grabbed the newspaper out of the back of the car, and then because they roll up in a ball.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I'm still trying to, and it was still clutching the ground.
Yeah.
Like, and I finally, you know, I did a big heave, and then I threw him, and he bounced down the hill. He would have been fine. It's just I didn't want him to get run over. It would have been fine.
I've got total empathy for native animals. It's just horrible. I mean, like today, what I did this poor lizard, one of our listeners, so we're down to three or
We've still got Susie, and Dave J.
As long as we don't run them over or stand on them accidentally, we'll be right. But this poor lizard has done nothing other than sit under my exercise bike, which I don't know why it's in my get-go. And as I try to move it, I squat his head.
How many times have I walked to the village and I see ants? So I walk on the grass rather than the concrete. So I don't kill the ants. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Rollo, you're a living embodiment of a good person. You're not trying to kill the native animals.
I was just talking to Dave J in the green room after your conversation, and the funny stories he was telling me. Just made me laugh. He's a hitman. Do you know that?
A hitman?
A hitman. I pay for a few ones. And I said, I've got a few people I want hit. My ex-neighbor, my neighbor. I was kind of joking because, like, you know, how much for a hit? I called him on it. He's not really a hitman. He was just joking. I don't want my neighbor hit. I mean, he'll probably hit himself because, he seems like someone who would, continue taking the COVID-19 jabs and, you shake your head. I've never been happier here.
Yes, you know, you found a nice spot, Rollo. You found a nice spot.
Yeah, you know exactly where I live.
I know exactly where you are. And we're on again April the 5th, which is Easter Sunday. On April 2026, doing a Rick and Rollo catch up from the show we didn't do.
I was a bit crook last Saturday night. The tummy issues, but
look
today. You can tell from my voice that I've had like half a bottle of vodka already, and I found the only shop in Newcastle that's. It was open, and Christy.
Do you have to drive?
I remembered, I think a couple of years back, it was the only shop open, and I rang at 9 o'clock because me and you, when we did Rick and Roller 73,
yes,
I'd run out of my vodka and I was back to drinking beers.
What about your Siggy? Did you have a big packet of? You've got the carton of Siggy.
Oh yeah, I've got plenty. I've got plenty of darts. Yeah, I've got darts till next week. So, I mean, the darts shops are open. Rick and Rollo 74.
Rick and Rollo
74.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
You're listening to Rock and Rillo, episode 74. And I'm Ken, and I need some extra work, so you can send me some. If you need voiceovers, I can do them expertly.
Hey Ken.
Yes?
I think maybe if Rick didn't lose his wallet with $150 cash in it, you would have got $150 cash.
I know, and I'm very upset that Rick lost his wallet, Rollo. Be told.
Well, these things happen, Ken.
I'm really upset, babe. But yeah, you know, he could have paid me to do a voiceover for the Rock and Rillo show.
Yeah,
but he's got no money. I don't expect any reward. I'll just sit there, and then I'll clean the toilet later if you throw up in it. Whatever.
All right, Ken. Where's the dumb button?
No, we got rid of him.
I pressed the dumb button.
Oh, good. Thank God for that. You know, he's obviously, you know, he's
how many times have you been dumped on when you spoke to Brian Welsh here, or
never. And we have to say RIP.
John Laws.
No.
Did he dump you? Did he ever dump you?
No, where have I been dumped? I don't think so. Most of the time I went on to talkback shows.
I got dumped a lot by Neil Mitchell. Remember him down in Melbourne, 3AW.
No surprise.
Yeah, I was having a go about Dan Andrews and the COVID and him promoting the, you know, the jab and all of that crap.
And
I like Neil Mitchell. Like, he was on frontline. Yeah, with the working dog, Rob Sitch.
Yeah.
And the frontline.
And Rob and Jane.
Jane Kennedy. That's right. They got married, those two. Yeah.
They did. And they had they've had 4 or 5 children. So they've done a good job.
Good luck to them. Yeah. And she, you know, they say women aren't funny.
She's funny.
Yeah.
But guess what? There's been a lot of stuff on Facebook about what's her name? The other chick that was on.
Maybe we'll go out with 5 in a row or something. Get it?
No.
You remember that 5 in a row?
I do. But no. What's the other chick that the unattractive one that was on?
Judith something.
Have you seen all the stories on the media about her? Apparently she's living in a rental and she's getting, you know, everything's bad and she's got, look, her teeth look, I don't mean mean, but, and I hope my teeth don't look like that.
Mine are terrible.
She's doing stuff because she's virtually renting a hovel in Melbourne and the real estate agent won't fix it. And she's doing
Where'd you read that?
On Facebook. Yeah.
I'm not on Facebook. Yeah.
No, you don't have to be on it. Just look up Judith Lucy. She's on the social media complaining about being, you know, the place she's renting is falling to pieces. And
someone put me together.
That was
Faith No More. What a great band they were. Maybe we'll go out with that.
Falling Priest. And she's got rental problems. And I did find it funny, kind of, you know, back in the day.
I never did. No, I always thought of her as the Yoko Ono of the Beatles, you know, that came in and fucked everything. Okay, so it says here, Judith Lucy, oh, my God, yeah, she's looking rough.
She's looking rough.
Rental horror story proves that fame doesn't guarantee a decent housing as a toilet. The cistern dangles. Yeah. Like the wall. Oh, my God.
Check it out. It's like, this is a big story on Facebook, and she's constantly on there. But she looks terrible. I mean, she's always been scary, to be honest. You know, like, as far as, if you woke up next to her, you do that thing.
Oh, yeah, you'd want to gnaw your own knob off.
You'd actually cut your own arm off with a hacksaw that was under her arm.
Did I really get drunk and sleep with that?
Yeah, exactly. That's the way it is. Sadly, I want to be mean, but that's, you know, most men.
Hey, it's porn before dawn. We can be mean. So you think you're famous and still struggling though through the housing crisis? Think again. Australian comedian Judith Lucy has shared an insight on her rental situation. Miss Lucy, 57, who lives in the suburb of Melbourne, highlighted some of the downsides of her living arrangement. It paints a pretty bleak picture. I'm living in a rental, and I refer to as a house of shit, she says.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Her teeth look like mine. Oh, that that's all right.
Yeah.
Since moving here over a year ago, I've had the plumber here, I think, 4 or 5 times. We were on the first name basis, and at one point, he came around because my toilet criticism pulled away from the wall. No, cistern, sorry. Pulled away from the wall. Yeah, I misspoke. From the wall, and it's such a bizarre angle at every time. Man, this sounds so boring.
Oh, it's terrible.
I mean, what happened to her? She's not trying to be funny here.
No, she's not.
Oh, look at her. Oh, my God. She looks like a Karen. She looks like a Karen.
Well, she kind of talks like one as well, but
look at her. Look at her with a the hair still looks like Karen. A typical lefty.
Yeah, no,
look glasses on. I'll post this.
It's kind of scary. I've been on Facebook. It appears all over the place. And I'll tell you now, this is the weirdest thing, Rollo.
Mm-hmm.
And I am on Facebook, right? But I'm not for long. I think it's time to get out of there. But I'm getting barraged with Jewish dancing videos from bar mitzvahs. For some reason, are appearing on my feed. And I'm like, they're very funny. You know, they're like a whole lot of people wearing funny hats, jumping up and down. Like the if you ever watched, what's that? Remember Blackadder when they got the jumping Jews?
Yeah, jumping Jews from Jerusalem. Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm getting barraged with jumping Jews from Jerusalem videos. And I sent them to my son and I said, you know, your grandfather.
Where's the golden skin mark when we need him? Because he'd love this conversation. He'd love this conversation.
Well, I'm just
He's got no love for the Jews.
Why am I getting this as a suggested video?
Do you reckon Judith Lucy's Jewish?
Not sure.
She looks Jewish.
She could be, but if she was, she'd be milking it like that. What's her name? Who I used to say was the most beautiful girl ever.
They always play victim. Jewish people are very, very good at playing victim, even though they're the antagonist in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, why didn't Donald Trump just go and bomb the shit out of Israel?
Because he's part of it. That's why. He's part of it. But
there's no way he's going to go and bomb the. Do you know who I blame for Israel, the state of Israel? The British.
Yes, 100%.
You know, after World War II, they created it,
and I work with people.
And I'm British.
Well, I'm telling you now, in the 1980s, I was working on a building site with a guy who was he would have been 70-something or other when I was working with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I was in the invasion force of Jerusalem, or whatever they called Jerusalem back in the 1940s with the British Army. And he said, I felt so sorry for the Palestinians or whatever they're called, because we were absolutely going over and bombing them and doing all this stuff. And he told me, I felt really bad about what we were doing. And I've always held that in my head, that all this land grabbing and et cetera, et cetera. And even if you say
it was such a beautiful place over there
back in the day, it was absolutely, it was no problem whatsoever. And
you look at the Middle East in the '50s. That was the place to go. That was the place to go.
Yeah.
And then the bloody Brits, given the state of Israel, these Jews, and then they, you know, you got people like Netanyahu. Netanyahu is just,
well, that's a new
BB Netanyahu.
That's a new one.
He's a piece of shit that'll never go out of power until he dies. He hasn't got a sense of humor in his. This is why I don't know why people don't like Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the funniest guy I've and there is, but he's got people behind him, so he has to, you know, be the president of, you know, the most powerful country in the world.
Yeah, but unfortunately,
but I don't know why people don't take him seriously.
Because he's a look.
I think his second term's been way better. When he sacked that Pam Bondi the other day,
you notice, Rollo. Okay, I'll give you some exclusive here. Do you notice Pam Bondi? They call it Bondi. Mm. But where was the latest psychological operation of a mass shooting? It was in Bondi. Bondi Beach, okay? Work it out. I mean, these are just, you know, stories.
That was crazy.
It was, but it was, you know, and then that, what a coincidence, they've got a chick in America called Pam Bondi or Bondi, spelled exactly the same way as the beach where they had the psychological rehearsal. Yeah. Now, I'm telling you, this is there. And this is why you just do not trust.
I'm going to get another refill.
Go for it.
I prefer the word bindi.
Bindi.
Remember bindis? Remember bindis when you were a kid?
I get them in my foot quite regularly.
You still feel them at your age?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you remember the Australian guy who died young from the stingray?
Yeah.
What was his name? Irwin? Something?
Why can't I?
Yeah, the crocodile guy, you know,
Steve Irwin.
He called his youngest kid Bindi.
He did. Yeah, isn't that strange? Isn't that a coincidence? Bindi, Bondi,
It's classic. Why would you? Bindi is a great name. Everyone hates Bindis, especially when you got, I mean, Aboriginals have got, like, feet tough as leather, you know.
I'm telling you, Rollo. If I walk out my front yard without shoes on, just to go to my bed.
You got bindies.
And I'm getting prickles. We call them prickles, also that in New Zealand language. Prickles.
Oh, yeah.
Prickles, we call them in New Zealand, but they're bindies in Australia. And bindi is a pain in your foot. Bindi and Bondi, and that name for that this woman Pam Bondi, and they had that shooting at Bondi.
But she's been sacked. I mean, the Attorney General, I think her role was, so they get someone in there that can actually, you know, get shit done. I'd be interested to see what Cliff Curtis and
Ty Cohen, the real name, is like a Jewish guy,
to see what they produce with someone else. Who was the other? There's three of them.
It was Cliff Curtis, Taika Waititi, and what's his name from blah blah blah. What's that movie? Aquaman.
That's right. With Amber Turd, the one that you fancy.
I love Amber Heard.
Oh yeah, she is cute. I must admit,
she's beautiful.
You would let her shit in your bed.
Yes,
no,
I would.
She should never have shit in Johnny Depp's bed though. Because Rollo,
Johnny Depp is creepy, I'll just say that. But no, we're talking about, what's his name? Cliff Curtis, Taika Waititi, and
Jason Momoa. There you go.
But guess what? He popped up in the Black Sabbath thing. He was there running around going, he was big on the Birmingham Black Sabbath scam, which is a scam.
Oh, what are you talking about? Just before
Ozzy died. So Jason Momoa turned up as a major host.
All right. I never watched it, I really. I must admit, I never watched it.
Do not Do not waste your time, Robert. Do
no, no. I watched a few of the songs where he was sitting. He was strapped down, and he was singing.
It was very sad.
But his voice was still good. I didn't think he would even sing that night.
Mm.
And with Tony Iommi, Iron. Did he sing Iron Man that night? I don't know.
He did three songs, but Jason Momoa just by coincidence just happens to be in the audience and running around doing it, like, you know, voiceover. You know, this is my favorite band ever. You know, Black Sabbath. And, you know, to me, it's set up. It's a setup. So this is the
question. Oh, yeah, yeah. A lot of it is. Like Sharon was sitting on
the... Well, I'm a Black Sabbath fan.
You can't even recognize Kelly anymore.
No. She looks terrible of the highest magnitude. She looks frightening.
And Sharon too. Sharon's on the Ozempic. I don't know where Jack's gone. I haven't seen Jack in years.
He's got a fat face and looks normal as a normal
does
dude.
He
just had a child and blah blah.
And there's another daughter too, you know, that wasn't in the Osbournes, remember? The one that didn't want anything to do with media at all.
Exactly. Yeah. She went out with what's his name from Newcastle?
Originally called the Innocent Criminals, and then Innocent they became
Silverchair.
Then Silverchair, yeah. I poor Christy got kicked in the face accidentally by Daniel Johnson. Yeah, we were at the bar on the hill watching them one night, and he was doing the crowd surfing, and Christy wasn't looking, and bang
on the head by Daniel.
Daniel Johns kick to the face. I picked her up and I went, no, that was all right. She no major injuries as I know. This is like 30-40 years ago.
That's something to hold up as a thing. It's a great story.
My favorite. What's your favorite Innocent Silverchair song?
Okay, we'll go out with that actually because we're going to go soon. So we'll go out with a Silverchair song.
All right. Give me a second.
What's their biggest hit?
All right, let's have a look. Give me one second.
I mean, the original when they were only 15.
I posted that thing for you on the balcony.
What's it called?
Here we go. Rick and Roll is 74.
Truth Meets is supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com.
Yeah, Rick and Rollo, episode number 70. Was it 60 something or other? What the fuck ever it is.
Yeah.
But I think we should go with what was their biggest.
We go with the Innocent. I'm just looking up the Innocent Criminals. Before they became Silverchair.
What's their biggest song that had that song? When they're only 15 or 16 years of age.
All right.
Silverchair, their biggest song.
Well.
And it sounds like Nirvana. And they were called Nirvana.
I've had half a bottle of vodka, so my typing is not the best. My typing is not the best.
I'll tell you what it's called. If my son was here, and he's not, unfortunately, who loves Silverchair.
Yeah,
he's got bright red hair. Still,
is that Norbert or
Heinrich? Bright red hair. He dyed his hair bright red, and he's pierced and tattooed and etc.
All right. What about Israel's Son or Pure Massacre?
No,
Pure Massacre.
No,
Miss You Love, Tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay. We'll go with Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yep.
I'll so we'll go with, it's, that's off the album Frog Stomp, 1995.
Yeah. Okay, we'll go with that.
Yeah, yeah. So they were the Innocent Criminals. So from Newcastle. So big, big shout out to Daniel Johns and co. I think he's still with us. Oh, someone joined us. Hello.
It's Susie.
G'day, Susie. Hello.
1, 2, 3, 4. Speak now or forever hold your silence.
I hear that you're going.
Hey, Susie. Welcome.
Hello. Hello. Hey, is this a safe place to drink and talk about buttholes?
It's the same place to drink and talk about buttholes. Yeah.
We've been talking about this.
On Easter Sunday. Thank you, Susie, for joining us. What a
hello. I heard you guys were going, and I'm like, wait for me. I just wanted to say hi.
We'll hang on for you, baby.
No time.
I was like, what are you guys doing? I had to wait a whole another week to say hello.
Ah, that's cool. I'm glad that you wrote me that message and you gave me some new songs.
What are you talking about?
Oh, you sent me a message when we were on Rick and Roller 73. I'm glad you're back or something. I'm still not well. I'm still not well, but there you go. But we appreciate you coming in. You're our number one fan. Rick just killed one of our fans tonight.
No, I've got him a brain injury.
Gave it a brain injury.
I stood on, no, sorry, I moved something into my washing machine accidentally hit my lizard listener in the head, and he's now roaming around in circles in my laundry. Mm. He doesn't know where to go. And I don't know whether to go and kill him, but luckily I went down there just before and he disappeared. So I would have killed him if I found him.
Put him out of his misery. You know, Rosie couldn't catch cold. No. But she actually caught a lizard. I saw her catch it. It was a big fat one too. It was slow and I grabbed the lizard out of her mouth. she thinks she's doing a job by catching them. And I go, how fun. And I grabbed it out of her mouth, and there wasn't too much damage done, and I just threw it back under the house. And I just went, you bloody idiot. If Rosie can catch you, you've got no chance, you know.
No chance.
When it comes to...
So, Rollo, we're going to go out with Tomorrow, which is basically Daniel Johns and the gang back in from Newcastle in 19...
Does Susie remember The Innocent Criminal or the Silver Chair? Do you remember?
I don't think I know what you're talking about.
We're going to go out with that song.
Nirvana in Pajamas as a joke because they were like the Nirvana basically at 15 years of age coming from Newcastle. And we'll go out with that song and I'll send
We will.
Yeah, I'm going to send it to Jello. Well, like
good, then.
I just want to say hello.
Yeah, all good. Good.
He looked a bit gaunt last time I saw him because he was a bit into heroin or whatever. He was a bit of a heroin addict. Wasn't he, Daniel Johns? He got into some rough company.
He did, and hookers and blow.
Hookers and blow. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but you got to
draw the line at hookers and blow. No heroin. I draw the line.
I just thought the guy wasn't looking good, but he... did he ever go into acting or anything like that?
No, he just went downhill. He started hanging around brothels,
yeah,
all the time.
Are they So are they still performing, Silverchair? Yeah, no, they split up, did they? Yeah.
I'm gonna
tomorrow.
Great song, though. You're right. 100% great song.
Yeah, we'll definitely go out with that. But it's nice to have Susie here.
I'm starting my day now. I'm starting my day. I'm saying goodnight to you.
Right. So you just came in for a cameo. Oh, thanks, Susie.
I mean, I could talk to you, Rolo, especially for another 24 hours. But
stop it. You're making me feel special, you know.
Well, you know, just take her easy, right?
Hmm.
Take her easy. Everybody, we can all drink, but we don't have to get plastered.
Well, I've got a full bottle of vodka here that I bought on Easter Sunday. It must be Monday there in the United States. Well,
it's the other way.
Mm.
It's Easter morning. It's 6 a.m. almost.
Oh, right. That's right. You're behind us. We're ahead of you.
Rollo, what's the name of the number of our show? Is it
74.
Okay. I'm behind you. Don't fart.
me. I fart all the time. That's why we call it the Fart Podcast. Fakeologist Australian Roundtable back in the day. Yeah. But we, now it's Rick and Rollo, and you're the special guest.
Two in a row.
You're from Iowa, is that right?
Okay, sure.
or Arizona, Las Vegas.
No, think of the awesome city that had their Cleveland Indians turned into the retarded Guardians.
Cleveland.
Hey, Rollo, I got to go, man. But and all Susie. Right.
I might chat on with Susie.
Yeah, keep going, man. I'll just send it to Jolo, and so we're gonna go.
Yeah, we'll go with tomorrow.
I've already sent it to him. So it's all good.
Good man. It's a good
song.
Bye.